Well, if you're visiting with us today, we're in a series of messages right now in the book of Ruth. And so that's where we're going to be today, in the book of Ruth in chapter 2. A lot of times I'll veer off of a sermon series to do a special Mother's Day sermon. But today I feel like that we need to see what God's Word has to say to us from the book of Ruth. Well, I looked it up earlier this week because I just am that kind of guy. I just have an inquiring mind, and you may have thought about it too today. But now, don't Google it, okay? Please play fair with me. Don't Google this on your phone right now. But I wonder if any of you have any idea the number of births the woman who had the most children in history had. How many children she had? How many? 28? Way off. Way off. Somebody else want to venture a guess? 30. How many? What did you say? 69? How can that be possible? You're exactly right. 69. I looked it up. I couldn't believe it. But this woman was the wife of Theodore Vasilev of Russia. And between 1725 and 1765, she gave birth to 69 children. No joke. Hard to believe. She gave birth, listen to this, to 16 pairs of twins, to 7 sets of triplets, and 4 sets of quadruplets. This woman didn't have children, she had litters. It's incredible. But listen, guys, here's the most surprising thing of all. This just blows me away. In the Guinness Book of World Records, on Wikipedia, or wherever you go, her name is not even recorded. What's up with that? She's simply listed as Mrs. Theodore Vasilyev. We don't even know her name. Isn't that amazing? And isn't that true of life? I guarantee you today there's a lot of mothers out there that feel like they're just unknown and unappreciated. You feel like a lot of the things that you do are under the radar. You're never going to get on the cover of a magazine for the things that you do, for your tireless service. You may, other than maybe in a church, rarely get recognized for what you do. And today I want you to know that we are here to honor you. Honor and appreciate you. Now, some of you need to just get prepared for that. That's why I need to tell you that in advance, because sometimes it's so unexpected that it freaks us out when it happens. Like a story I heard about a man who went to dinner with one of his friends. He invited him over to his house for dinner. And so they were having dinner together, and immediately he was struck by how this man treated his wife. I mean, immediately when he walked through the door, he greeted her with a kiss and he said, "How was your day? And you look beautiful." And they embraced. And then they sat down to dinner, and later on he complimented her about how wonderful the dinner was, and how he enjoyed it, and how wonderful it was that she would prepare this for he and his friend. Well, later on, the guy said, "Why in the world do you treat your wife this way?" He said, "Well, she deserves it. And besides that, it just makes our marriage happier." He said, "Well, I'll just try that at home, see how that works." So he came home shortly after that and walked into the house, and immediately he embraced his wife, and he said, "You just look gorgeous tonight. And you smell good." And he said, "Sweetheart, I'm the luckiest man in the world." And immediately she started crying her eyes out. That's why I'm telling some of you guys, be careful with this. Just try it little bits at a time. But he said, "What in the world is wrong with you?" She said, "Oh, I've had just a terrible day." She said, "Billy got in a fight at school. And the refrigerator busted. And the groceries I just bought are all spoiled. And now you've come home drunk." I guarantee you, there's a lot of moms that feel underappreciated. But I want you to know today, women, and this includes our spiritual moms, you are not forgotten. You are not forgotten by us, and especially, most of all, you're not forgotten by God. You see, this story that we've been in, it would be awful easy for the women in this story, Ruth and Naomi, to feel like they've been forgotten. In chapter 1, the story picks up with a man named Elimelech who lived in the place called the House of Bread, that's Bethlehem, and there was a famine there, probably a famine of judgment, And Elimelech took his family and they moved to a place called Moab. Bad move. You don't want to go to Moab. Well, as we've learned over the last couple of weeks, things weren't the greatest in Moab either. And Elimelech died. And then his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, who had taken Moabite wives, also passed away. And so finally, after 10 years, Naomi knew she had to go back home. She had to get back to that place of blessing, to the house of bread with God's people. And so she made a decision to change, to turn, and to walk back to Bethlehem. And originally, her two daughters-in-law went with her, Naomi and Orpah. But Orpah kind of decided, ultimately, this was going to be too big of a sacrifice. She'd have to leave her parents and leave her family, leave her god Chemosh, and leave her ways. And she said, you know what, I think I will turn and go back. And by the way, Naomi's encouraging her, because Naomi has become a very bitter woman by this time. She's bitter. She thinks God's hand is against her. She thinks she's forgotten, that no one cares. But oh, Ruth, who is the heroine of the story, Ruth says, you know what? I'm not having anything to do with that. I'm staying with you. In fact, the word says in chapter 1 that Ruth clung to Naomi, which is a good picture of what we do when we accept Christ. We cling to Jesus. And so she said, your ways are going to be my ways. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And where you die, I will die. And she was determined to go back to the house of bread. Even though it was a foreign place, she didn't know how that she was going to be accepted. She knew there were going to be challenges and bumps in the road. She was committed to go back with her mother-in-law. And, you know, she's a mother that's worthy of honoring. Now, I know she's a famous mother in the Bible. She's not a mother at this point in the story. But she has some characteristics that I think made her a wonderful mother. And also a wonderful daughter-in-law. And so we pick up at the end of chapter 1. I want to just read a few verses to kind of set up the story today. And my message is entitled, Not Forgotten. And listen, no matter who you are today, whether you're a mother or not, this is a message for every one of us. Some of you, probably many in this room, need to hear this message today, that you are not forgotten. So I want you to listen. This is what happens after Ruth is determined to go with them, with Naomi. In chapter 1 and verse 19... And I'm reading out of the New Living Translation today, just so you know. It says, so the two of them continued on their journey. And when they came to Bethlehem, the entire town was stirred by their arrival. Is it really Naomi? The woman asked. And you got to know something before I read this next part. Some of you that have been in the series know this. Naomi's name means pleasant or sweetness. And Naomi really doesn't like that name anymore. It really doesn't represent who she is. And so that's why she says these words in verse 20. Don't call me Naomi, she said. Instead, call me Mara, which means bitter. She says, for the Almighty has made life very bitter for me. Some of you may feel that way today. She says, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why should you call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy? So Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by her daughter-in-law Ruth, who's a brand new baby believer. She's just made her profession of faith. And you know what? Nothing has really changed. It's still going to be hard, but she's now walking with Yahweh, with the one true God. And it says, and this is very important, this last phrase, they arrived in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Let's bow now for a word of prayer. Lord, I love you and I thank you for how you encourage us through your word. The stories that we read in your word inspire us and they encourage us to carry on when life gets difficult. We see examples of people in your word that live well. Not everything they go through is good or easy, but they are able to, by faith, walk with you and experience great victory. My prayer today is that mothers would be strengthened and encouraged today. I believe most mothers, not only in this room, but everywhere, need this word of encouragement today. Lord, but also people who are sitting here who are not mothers. This isn't an easy day for a lot of people. May they be encouraged and strengthened. May we all realize that you love us and we are not forgotten. And Lord, help me to preach this message today. I just pray that your spirit would flow through me today. that it wouldn't be my words, but you speaking through me. Give us ears to hear, so that we might walk by faith and follow you and come into a closer relationship with you. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said earlier, it's not easy to be a mother. There's nothing easy about that assignment. There's no manual that tells you how to handle certain situations that you go through in every season of motherhood. Sometimes, frankly, I'm sure most mothers feel like they're a failure. Probably they feel lonely. Probably they feel like they're unappreciated, unrecognized, and frankly, unsuccessful. I'm afraid that Ruth and Naomi were tempted to feel all of these things when they made that trek into Bethlehem, even though they knew it was where they needed to be. Naomi knew she had to get back to that place to ever experience the blessing of the Lord. And so, even though they felt like they were broken and useless and hopeless, they were doing what they knew to do. And what you need to hear is they were not forgotten. God had not forgotten them, and God has not forgotten you today. You may feel like you're miles away from Him. You may say, you know, Pastor, at one time I feel like I had a close, abiding relationship with the Lord, but today it's just not happening. Man, I wish I could get back to that point. Some of you even shared that with me in times past. I want you to know God does love you and God does care and you're not forgotten. And I have four reminders for our moms and for everyone here today that's straight out of the book of Ruth. Here's the first one. You are not forgotten because you matter to God. That's your first fill in the blank. You're not forgotten because you matter to God. You matter to God. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you are in your life right now. You matter to God. In fact, God loves you more than you know. God loves you so much that He wants to take your life and do something incredible with it. Something you could never imagine. Now listen, maybe this isn't a good day for you today. Maybe it was a real struggle for you to come in here today to these doors. I'm very well aware of that. There are some people here today, maybe you want to be a mom, but for whatever reason, it just hasn't worked out. Or maybe you're a stepmom today and you really have a difficult relationship. Your stepchildren are not respecting you very well. Or maybe you're wanting to have kids but not in your life right now because your marriage is frankly not very good. Or maybe you're just a single mom today and you're just lonely. And this is a hard day for you. Maybe you're here today and like I said in my prayer, you've lost a mother. Or maybe you're a mother who's lost a child and you're experiencing grief in your life today. Whatever it is, Mother's Day may be just reminding you of that hole that's in your heart. I want you to know that God loves you and He cares about you, and we see it here in this passage. Look with me back in the text here. It says, now there was a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. And one day Ruth said to Naomi, let me go out into the fields and gather leftover grain behind anyone who will let me do it. And Naomi said, all right, my daughter, go ahead. So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. Let me stop right there. She's doing what she knows to do. They're destitute. They're widows. There's not a lot of opportunities for them. Naomi's already painted that picture last week. And yet she's willing to go out and work hard and do whatever she can to provide for her family, staying close to her mother-in-law, not abandoning her. And so she's showing a lot of courage right now. And a lot of you are living courageous lives. And you need to know that even in the midst of your courage, God is with you. God has not abandoned you. I came across a verse, and I want to share this verse right now. It's out of Isaiah chapter 49. You know, the Lord has some characteristics like faithful, loyal mothers. The Lord does not abandon His children. Listen to what it says in verses 14 and following. This is, first of all, what the people think. The Lord has abandoned me. The Lord has forgotten me. And 15 is God's response. Look at what it says there. Can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the child of her womb? even if these forget, yet I will not forget you. And guys, I just want you to know the Father has not forgotten you. He loves you. And there's nothing that you can do to make Him love you anymore, nor is there anything He can do to make Him love you any less. So here she is. She's out in the field. She's working, basically picking up the leftovers that are left behind by the harvesters. And the reason she's doing this is because this is graciously allowed by God. God has put in His Word, in His law, the fact that there's a law for widows and disenfranchised people, foreigners, and it's a law of gleaning. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 24. It says, when you are harvesting your crops and you forget to bring in a bundle of grain from the field, don't go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigners, the orphans, and the widows, and then the Lord your God will bless you in all that you do. Isn't that just like God, to be thinking about the most disenfranchised person? Isn't that how Jesus was when He walked on the earth? He was always going to people that were marginalized that no one else would go to. And so please hear me. God has not forgotten you today. Just remember these three things. No matter what you have done, you are loved by God. Some people out there, you may be thinking, you know, God could never love me. Pastor, if you only knew what I had done, maybe even recently. You feel like you've done something that's truly unforgivable. You need to know that even if you can't love yourself, God loves you. Isn't that amazing? God's love is inexhaustible. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10 says, though the mountains move and the hills shake, my love will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says your compassionate Lord. Not only that, you don't need to fall in the trap that Naomi has fallen into. No matter what your circumstances are, you are loved by God. See, a lot of people equate God's love with their circumstances. And when they're struggling financially, or physically, or relationally, they feel like God is miles away and He doesn't care. When the truth of the matter is God cares about every detail of your life. God cares about everything that's happening. And in the days when you feel overwhelmed, and when you're barely surviving, the Word of God comes to you. And has a message for you. A message of comfort and a message of hope. God loves you and God cares. And this last point is probably the main point of the book of Ruth. Because you are loved by God, God is working behind the scenes providentially. The providence of God is a huge part of this story. This is a love story. And by the way, the other key character in this story is Boaz. And we're going to talk about him more next week. In fact, if you can make it here next week, and if you're in a relationship or you're thinking about getting married, that's what we're going to talk about next week. What to look for in a mate and how you should be looking for a mate. And so that's what we're going to talk about next week as we look at Boaz. But Boaz is a godly person. I want you to look here in verse 4. It says, while she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. First thing he says is, the Lord be with you. How would you like to have a boss like that? How many of you have a boss, first thing happens when you walk in Monday morning, says, the Lord be with you? I don't think that happens very often. He's a godly man. And his people that work for him, they respect him and they care about him. And God is going to use this godly man in a great way. And I just need to remind you Christians that are out here today, you are a vessel or an instrument of God. Let God use you to bless somebody who's hurting. Pay attention to the people that are around you in your life. It may be a clerk at the grocery store. It may be someone sitting next to you right now in this auditorium. You would be surprised how many people feel lonely. You'd be surprised how sometimes people just need a hello or a smile. Or when we have our dinners on Wednesday night, just sit down by somebody and spend some time with them. Go out of your way. I can't tell you how important that is to show the love of Christ. This man shows the love of Christ providentially. See, we don't always understand when God is working because we can't see Him working. I know we read about miracles, and our God is a miracle-working God. But He's also a God who works providentially behind the scenes to bring about His good purposes. And He's working in your life right now. And he's using his word, like the law of gleaning. And he's also using other people who are godly people who want to serve him, just like he uses Boaz in this story. So make no mistake about it. The God of the universe, who owns the cattle on a thousand hills, is in your corner today. He has not abandoned you, and he is with you wherever you are in your life. Psalm 146 is a great reminder in verses 5 and following. Happy is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever, executing justice for the exploited and giving food to the hungry. Farther down in verse 9, the Lord protects foreigners and helps the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. So will you just hold on to that today? Will you hold on to the hope that God cares about you, he loves you, and your life matters to God? Even if you can't see him at work right now in your life, he's working behind the scenes providentially, and he loves you because you matter to him. That's the first point you need to hear. But the ladies and mothers, especially in this auditorium today, you need to hear something else today. Point number two, you need to understand that you are not forgotten, and your efforts are noticed and they are appreciated. We do notice what you're doing. That's really what this day is all about. We do know that what you're doing is so important. The work is a work that will last on beyond your life and into the coming generations. That's why the Word of God says they will rise up and call her blessed. And moms need to hear that. Moms need to hear that today. And moms needs to know that she is doing a good work. And she's not perfect, but she is worthy of our praise. And that's maybe the best place to start today. Just with simple words, we appreciate you. We appreciate you. And we love you. And that's the least we can do on Mother's Day. And let me tell you, there's three reasons why we need to say those simple words today to our mothers, both our biological mothers and our spiritual mothers. We need to recognize and appreciate moms who work hard. One of the things that characterized Ruth in this story is she was a hard worker, and people noticed it. Boaz, in verse 5, asks his workers, "Who's that girl over there?" Now, as we know, this is a love story, and there's probably a little bit of physical attraction built up in that. That's for next week's lesson. But today, the answer he gets is really what is impressing him is her character and her work ethic. Look at what it says in verse 7. It says that she asked me this morning, this is like a foreman talking about her, if she could gather grain behind the harvesters, and she's been working hard. She's been hard at work ever since, except for the few minutes rest over there in the shelter. You know, our moms work hard. There's an old saying, a woman's work is never done, and it's true. And we need to celebrate that today, how hard our wives and our mothers work and our spiritual moms work. But second, we need to recognize and appreciate moms who are faithful and loyal. We need to just recognize the faithfulness and the loyalty of the mothers that are in this room today. Going a little farther down in the story in verse 11, after Ruth has met Boaz, she bows down and says, "Why are you being so kind to me and good to me? I'm a foreigner." And listen to what he says here. This is interesting. He says, "I know you are, but I also know about the love and kindness you have shown your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers." See, what he's talking about there is her faithfulness and her loyalty. And nobody is loyal like a mother. I'll tell you what, if you've got a mother in your corner, you've got someone in your corner for life. Mothers never give up on their families. Mothers never give up on their children. And so that's an important trait that we need to recognize and appreciate today. Thirdly, we need to recognize and appreciate moms who walk with Jesus. Moms who walk with Jesus. One of the things is, the older I get, The more I think about my mom, and I'm grateful my mom is still here, she's still with us, is that she taught me what it meant to walk with Jesus. All of my life, as long as I've been alive, I've seen a consistent witness for Jesus. Not a perfect person, but someone who loved Jesus and wanted to walk with him. And listen, moms and everyone else in between, what a great gift you can leave to those coming behind you. And we need to honor and celebrate and appreciate those who walk with Jesus. You know, there's a lot of Mother's Day sermons that are based on Proverbs 31. In fact, I think I preached on that last year on Mother's Day. And it scares women to death because they think about the standard that they have to live up to and the high standard of this amazing homemaker that is mentioned in Proverbs 31. But here's something I want you to think about. Here's a little different twist on that proverb that I want you to take with you today. At the end of this amazing chapter, we learn about the children and the husband of this woman. And it says in Proverbs 31, verse 28, her sons rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. I want you to think about something as you think about those words. Maybe the reason this woman is such an incredible mother, such an incredible worker, is because her children and her husband are always praising her. They're always blessing her. They're always building her up with their words. Most women love that, by the way, the last time I checked. And the reason she's so successful is because she has a family that supports her, a family that encourages her. In other words, if you want a Proverbs 31 woman in your house, maybe you need to be a Proverbs 31 husband or a Proverbs 31 child. A healthy family is filled with people who praise one another. Don't cut each other down, but you lift each other up. That's for free today. That didn't cost anything, but you needed to hear it. Here's number three. All right? Third trait. Third thing you need to know, mothers and others that are here listening today. You are not forgotten, and it's okay to be human. It's okay to be human. When I wrote those words out as I was preparing my message remarks, I couldn't help but think about that commercial that was popular a few years ago by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Said, "You're only human." The song "You're Only Human" would play in the background while the safe came crashing down into the car, or the car doors taken off the side of the car, or the guy, I love the guy with the burgers that walks into the glass door. Y'all remember that commercial. And it just is talking about how we're human. We're not perfect. And even though we are trying hard, we are going to mess up sometimes. And I guess what I'm trying to say is give your mom some grace. Give the spiritual moms in your life some grace. All of us need to give one another a little bit of grace. And listen, you moms that are trying so hard out there, what this is saying to me is you can let go of the super mom myth. There's a myth out there that says there's a super mom. And super mom thinks that she has to be perfect at everything. She has to be at every meeting. She has to have her children involved in all the right things. And she has to do everything perfectly. A perfect cleaner, a perfect cook, a perfect wife. And basically, do you know what I call these moms? Non-existent. They just don't exist, folks. They're really just not actually realistic. And so what we see in this story is Ruth continues to thrive. Now, when we read this story, we think she's just out there gleaning a little bit for a day or two. Do you know she was out there for 3 or 4 months? That's how long the harvest season lasted. Every day doing this grueling, back-breaking work. So easy to get discouraged. And Naomi didn't change overnight. I don't think that Naomi immediately snapped on a switch and became Miss Pleasant again, or Miss Sweetheart. She's still angry. She's still bitter. It was a process. Some of you may have family members right now that are working through a process of grief. And as you know, you can't rush that. It doesn't happen overnight. And yet she's continuing to thrive, and she does it because I think she realizes she doesn't have to be perfect. She's got a little bit of help along the way. Ruth continued to thrive, first of all, because she received protection. Look in verse 8 and 9. She knew that she was being protected by the sovereign hand of God. Boaz goes over to her in verse 8 and says, "Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us and gather grain and don't go to any other fields." He says, "I've warned the young men not to bother you." There's the first anti-sexual harassment plan in history, right there in the Bible. He's taking care of her. He's protecting her. He's watching out for her interests, and she knows that, and she can relax and be human. Second, Ruth continued to thrive because she received provision. She received provision. She was able to receive more than what she was able to do on her own. Look down a little farther in verse 14. This is lunchtime on one of the days she's working. Boaz calls to her and says, come over here and help yourself to some of our food. And it says, Boaz gave her food more than she could eat. Boaz was good to her. He was blessing her. He was providing for her. And you know what? God is providing for you, even though His hand may be invisible to you today. Thirdly, Ruth continued to thrive because she received grace. She received grace. Grace is simply unmerited favor. Do you know every Christian, every true born-again believer in Jesus Christ is a recipient of grace? There's not a one of us that deserves what we receive from God. But we receive His grace freely because He's a loving God who loves us and cares enough about us to die for us. In verse 15 it says, when Ruth went back to work again, Boaz ordered his young men, let her gather grain right among the sheaves without stopping her, and pull out some heads of barley from the bundles and drop them on purpose for her. Let her pick them up and don't give her give her a hard time. Hey, let me make a point and apply this to you today where you are, moms. Here's how you know or you can tell if you're trying to be a super mom. All right, I want to give you some things you can tell. If you feel guilty because of all the things you feel you ought to be doing, but you're not doing, you feel a lot of guilt like that today, you're missing the grace of God. Relax and be human. Grace says God loves us even when we're not perfect. You don't have to be on every committee. Your child doesn't have to be on every traveling team. It's okay for the house to be clean enough to be healthy, I like this line, but dirty enough to be happy. You don't have to be super mom. You can relax and be human. God knows you're human, and God will help you along the way. He will protect you, He will provide for you, and you can receive His grace. And by the way, I'm learning this sometimes the hard way. Sometimes less is more. Did you know that? God didn't say that every child had to be on the merit scholarship team or a concert violinist or an all-state athlete. Listen to this. The fact of the matter is your kids will probably do better if they have a mom who walks in the grace of God rather than if they have a mom who is stressed out all the time trying to be super mom. So relax. You're human. Just be who God has called you to be. And here's another scripture I'll add in that'll help you maybe to walk as God wants you to walk when you put God first in your life. It's Proverbs chapter 3, 5 and 6. Some of you know this verse. I love this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Think about Him in all your ways and He will guide you on the right paths. By the way, that's a good word for all of us, whether we're a mom or not. We can be human. Walk in the grace of God, put Him first, and see what God does with your life. Because He's behind you working supernaturally to provide, to protect, and to offer His grace. Well, there's one more I've got to give you today. You are not forgotten, and you are making a difference. Mom, you are making a difference in the lives of those that are closest to you, but also in those that are coming beyond you. And sometimes it can seem like you're not. Sometimes it seems like you're just stuck and nothing is changing. I want you to know that you're making a big difference and you need to hang in there with what it is that God has called you to do. You know, 100 years from now, it's not going to really matter how much money you made in your career or what kind of house you lived in or what kind of car you drove, the kind of clothes you wore. But what's going to matter most is how you shaped lives. How you poured into other people. What will matter the most is the lives that you touched. Keep that in mind as you continue to roll up your sleeves and make a difference each and every day. Listen, the world will tell you that what you're doing really doesn't matter. Sometimes the devil will lie to you and he'll say, you know what, you're just totally screwing things up. You're fouling things up. None of this is really mattering. But you're making a big difference in the lives of people around you. Ruth made a big difference. How did it look? It sure didn't look like it every day, day in, day out, did it? Her working in the field, gleaning behind the harvesters. But Ruth made a big difference in the life of Naomi, her mother-in-law. Look with me in verse 17. It says that Ruth gathered barley there all day after the provision that Boaz had made. And the total she was able to gather came to half a bushel. That's over 5 gallons. That was because of the provision that God had given to her. She carried that back to her mother-in-law. How do you suppose Naomi responded? Look what she says. So much? Where did you get this grain today? Where did you work? May the Lord bless the one who helped you. So Ruth is already changing the demeanor of her mother-in-law. Not only that, but Ruth made a big difference in the future of her family. Now, we all know how this story ends. You're going to know it better by the time we finish this series. But we know that she went on to be the mother of a child, and her descendants turned out to be none other than King David and ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. God is doing a great work, maybe even beyond this generation and beyond what you can even imagine you'll ever see on this life. You never know what God is doing through you. Ruth made a big difference in the history of Israel. And so I've got a little video tribute to our mothers today, and I think it's going to hopefully touch and warm your heart. And it's a video tribute that is intended to help you see that you are making a difference. So why don't you take a look at this?
Come on, sweetie. Oh, honey, you've got something on your face.
Mom.
Did you brush your teeth? Did you really brush your teeth? Let me smell your breath.
Mom!
Okay, Jake, honey, this is the only thing I can find, all right?
Mom!
Yeah, it's a compound fracture.
Sorry, sweetheart. You're gonna be okay.
Mom?
Well, you have a good set of crutches?
Seriously, Jake, what am I going to do with you?
Mom.
Hi, Jake.
Hi.
Ooh, she's really cute.
Mom.
Mom? Not a chance. I left all that behind.
Mom. Jake, sit up straight, honey.
Mom.
This sermon up today by saying, moms, we love you. We appreciate you. You are making a difference. You're making an eternal difference. And I know sometimes it feels like everything's going wrong, but you have what it takes. God has put you where you are for such a time as this, and he's helping you. He's working behind the scenes. He's providing for you what you need. You just hang in there. You keep serving him, and he's going to do something in your life beyond what you could ever imagine or conceive. Thank you, mothers, for what you do. Thank you for your walk with Jesus. You keep on serving him today, and he will do what only he can do. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we oftentimes get caught up in so much of the stuff of life that it's good for us to just pause and take time on days like this to remember the most important things, to remember your good hand in our lives, and to just be inspired to stay at it. And I know this was tailored for mothers today, but all of us need to do that. Every one of us have a role to play in the body of Christ. We are shaped to serve you in a unique way. Lord, every one of us has someone out there we can reach out to. We can be like a Boaz. Maybe Boaz is who we need to see ourselves as today. Someone who can be kind and loving and generous to someone who's disadvantaged. But most of us, Lord, probably see ourselves in some way in the story of Ruth today. Maybe we're not a mother, but we sure know what it is to struggle and go through hard times, and we just need to hear the words that my life matters to God. Others of us, we feel like we've got to be superhuman, and we just don't allow any margin for error in our lives. We need to relax and live in your grace today. And sometimes we feel like, does it really matter if I continue on? And we need to just be reminded that we do make a difference. Our lives make a difference. God, I just pray that you would minister to hearts right now in this place. And God, I pray that the overall message of the book of Ruth would be in our hearts and minds right now. That you love us and you want us to come home. To come back to that house of bread, that place of provision. Bethlehem was named literally the house of bread because it was a place where physical needs were met. But it's also the house of bread in the fact of the spiritual nature. In the fact that spiritual needs are met because Jesus, the bread of life, came from Bethlehem. He was born in Bethlehem, raised in Bethlehem, and he is the bread of life. And if anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever in heaven. It's spiritual life. And so I pray for someone today that might need an encounter with Jesus today. They might cling to Jesus, just like Ruth was clinging to Naomi, her mother-in-law. And she made that decision to follow Naomi's God. Would someone today, Lord, if they need to, make a decision to follow Jesus Christ? But God, I just pray for encouragement and strength. I pray that your will would be done in this invitation. And Lord, strengthen us. Strengthen us for the journey and the walk ahead, the labor that we have to do for the Master. Because it's not going to be long. It's very short. This life is short. It's temporary. And there's one day when you will call us home forever in heaven. So help us to stay at it. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to stand to your feet now as Keith's going to come and lead us. And this invitation is just designed for you to come up and do business with God. Maybe you need to come up this morning and just pray at this altar. Maybe God's put something on your heart. Maybe you need to come and get saved today. I'd be happy to lead you in a prayer of salvation, a prayer of repentance, and placing your faith in Jesus and Jesus alone. Whatever it is, if God is speaking to your heart today, don't resist Him. Draw near to Him today, and He promises that He will draw near to you. Let's sing, "Take Up Thy Cross and Follow Me."